Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Great to be with you. I thought about doing a little rap. We're not ready for that yet.
No one
we're
is.
We're not ready for me to lay down a hot beat as a nasty treat. My name's Bart Winkler, and I'm here to say...
I will break this buzzer if you try to attempt it again.
I'm trying for you to break the buzzer because I'm about to break your face. You ever think about that?
You're just lucky HR doesn't listen to this show.
If you and I had to fight each other to the death for the winner to survive, I believe you would murder me under 60 seconds.
I appreciate your vote of confidence. It'd probably be under 48, but we'll say 60.
The only reason I extended it to 60 seconds is because I think you would get a shot on me or whatever, but I would still take the necessary time to perish.
He will just kind of like linger, like, you know, after a roach gets sprayed by a raid, they just get that little, that last bit of twitch and fight. And that,
so like the 30 second mark,
do that.
Yeah, I hope not either. But at the 30 second mark, you got me down, and then they're like, oh, Carlos has won, but then I have to actually expire.
Yeah, this is very morbid all of a sudden. I mean, the only reason I'm so confident on my end, I'm pretty sure I'm the only one of the two of us that has actually killed somebody. So, you know, I don't like your chances. Legally, may I add, before people start calling cops, legally.
Yeah, I feel like you have to elaborate.
Military, all right? There's no stories to be had, but it has happened.
Well,
I'll tell you off air.
You could argue that legally or illegally, I kill hundreds of people every day with kindness.
Or boredom, depending on how they like, consume the show.
Yeah. Sometimes we pick up the phone on people and we're like, oh, they must have fallen asleep. Are we sure they didn't die?
I don't think we've ever had a kid fall asleep, though. That might have been the first Harrison from Toronto.
Well, he was on them for a while. It was late.
That's true. And he did sound like a legitimate child, so, you know, perhaps, you know, the warm glass of milk, a cookie before bed. Now, I'm not comparing him to Santa, but that sounds like my bedtime retreat, and that sounds delicious right now. I wish I had a warm cookie and a glass of milk.
I would like to ask a question about something that's been a topic this week. The Philadelphia Eagles, was this ever a thing? Or not? Was there really something to worry about with the Eagles this week? because it all started with some comments that Brandon Graham had said about AJ Brown, saying essentially one of those guys is trying on every play and one's not, right? That was the extent of it.
No, he directly talked about their relationship. I will try to actually find this real quick.
Yeah. It's interesting because the Eagles last year were 10-1. And then as people were looking at them, they were saying, oh, guys, it ain't happening. This 10-1 team, it's not as good as it looks. And I was thinking, this team's 10-1. They're playing well. I don't see a lot of problems here. No, it's not good. They end up losing 5 of 6. They lose in the playoffs badly to the Buccaneers, and you thought maybe Nick Sirianni was going to be on the outs. But this year, as you maybe wait for that other shoe to drop, it hasn't yet. It hasn't yet. They've won 9 in a row. Saquon Barkley seems to be like, okay, if it's not going to happen, because this is a huge game changer. They win this week. A.J. Brown is a few catches, 4 catches, nothing great. The wins are getting tighter, maybe. So are we back to last year's Eagles? And then Brandon Graham, offensive lineman, talks about A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts this week.
The person that's complaining need to be accountable. And I'm just being honest. You know what I'm saying? Like, and he noticed. I don't know the whole story, but I know that one is trying. And I mean, 11 could be a little better with how he responds to things. And they was friends before this. It's like, man, but things have changed. And I understand that because life happens. But it's the business side that we have to make sure that we don't let the personal get in the way of the business. And that's what we got to do better.
So Brandon Graham said that, obviously caused a reaction enough to where he then had to, or felt the need to, apologize for saying everything he just said there.
I want to start off by just, you know, apologizing to my guys. You know, I was going to see them today anyway, but I wanted to start here first publicly since we all was here, because I made the assumption. I didn't know all the details, and I still don't. And I was just like, dang. Like, you know, I really just saw everything that y'all saw with the video, and I just was reacting to that, and I should have used a little more logic on it. Right now, I don't think it's that bad. I think it's a great thing, because pressure makes diamonds, you know what I'm saying? So I feel like this is about to be something that we gonna bounce back from really good. And, you know, we all make mistakes, and, you know, this was one of my mistakes.
So that audio coming from 94 WIP in Philadelphia, you can catch them and all this Eagles drama on the Odyssey app, as well as this show, as well as many different sports and music and talk stations across the country. Odyssey app, free to listen to, free to download. Ross Tucker was on there today. He's a longtime NFL analyst, and he was speculating maybe this can be a good thing. Like there clearly was something going on. And at least by putting it out there and doing it earlier in the week, it's forcing the team to address it and move forward. Now, it could be a bad thing. It could be a good thing. We'll find out. A.J. Brown commented on Brandon Graham's comments today. A.J. Brown.
BG is just being BG. He's emotional. In that case, he just misspoke. You know, me and Jalen are good. So it's BG, guys. So everybody loves BG. You know, he's speaking from the heart. You know, he's just giving his perception on something from the outside.
I thought we killed A.J. Brown there for a second. He is alive and well. So it seems like everything's fine. But there was clearly something. But now it seems like everything's fine. Nick Sirianni, who was the mastermind of the downfall last year, talked with A.J. Brown, talked with Jalen Hurts. So are we all on the same page?
Was your feeling when you were done talking to those guys, this is not what everybody on the outside is thinking what it is?
Yeah, to how I kind of answered Elliot, again, you go on your personal reactions, 100%. But we also understand of why it could look that way. But you address, again, I won't get into what we talk about in team meetings, what my personal talks are with these guys, but we address everything and anything and everything that we need to, you know, because we address it, right? And because I would like for you guys to ask me the questions about the Steelers because it's going to be a tough game, but I understand that these are going to be the questions today. And so because I can't dictate of what questions you guys are asking me, but I can do this in the team, is that you address it, right? You talk about it. You put it out there so that you can be here and here only for the Pittsburgh Steelers, because this is a really good football team that's coming in here, and we got to be on our A game. And so, again, all our focus now, after you talk about it and after you go through all your conversations there, is, boom, now our focus is on this. But to answer your question, yeah.
Oh, I forgot they're playing the Steelers this weekend.
Me too.
Do you know why I love when they play? Is because in 1943, they played side-by-side as the Steagles. In 1943, the two franchises combined because both had lost so many players to military service during World War II. Now, if you look in the record books, it will say Phil Pitt Combine, but the unofficial and illiterate variation is the Steelers. It's never been registered by the NFL. It's become the enduring moniker. And I am going to order a Steagles shirt tonight because I was looking and there are some for sale. And I do love that they combined for a season in 1943. You know, the Eagles can actually clinch their division this weekend. In fact, I've got some playoff scenarios for you here as we head to week 15. For the Philadelphia Eagles, they can clinch their division if they beat the Steelers and the Commanders lose to the Saints. I don't know if that's likely, but they can clinch their division if that happens. The Packers can clinch a playoff spot if they beat Seattle. If the Falcons lose or tie to the Raiders. And if the Rams and 49ers tie. So I don't know that that's going to happen. That's a lot to ask for. The Lions will hold on to, not clinch, but hold on to, the number one seed, even if they lose to the Bills, and the Eagles beat the Steelers, because the Lions hold the first tiebreaker for home field advantage. They remain 8-1 in the conference. Philly would be 7-2. So if Philly's going to try to get that number one spot, they need the Lions to lose a game in the NFC. The Rams right now trying to get back to the top of the NFC West. They can do that, not clinch, but get back up there by the end of the week. If they beat the 49ers, the Seahawks lose to the Packers, and the Buccaneers lose or tie the Chargers. So we could have a new leader in the NFC West by the end of the week. And the Falcons can get back up to the number four seed if they beat the Raiders and the Buccaneers lose to the Chargers. So a lot on the line. A lot could shift in the NFC. Let's look at the AFC. In the AFC this week, week 15, the Texans can clinch their division if they beat the Dolphins and the Colts lose to the Broncos. That seems like it could happen. The odds makers would think that could happen, but that feels like it's not going to happen. Either the Colts are beating Denver or the Dolphins are beating the Texans, and maybe even both. Those games, I think, are up in the air. For the Colts to get closer to the 7th seed, they will need to beat the Broncos. They've also got the Chargers, Bengals, and Chiefs coming up. So we're looking at them. That's what the Denver Broncos have. The Colts have the Titans, Jaguars, and Giants. So with those two teams playing, this is a big game this weekend, Colts and Broncos. The Steelers can clinch a playoff berth this weekend if they beat the Eagles or the Colts and Dolphins both lose. The Chiefs can clinch the number one overall seed. They would have to win three of their final four games, or if they win two, while the Bills and Steelers lose another game each. The Bills have the Lions coming up. The Steelers have the Eagles. The Chiefs need to win 3 or 4, even though their schedule's tough at the end. And if the Chargers beat the Buccaneers this weekend, it doesn't clinch a playoff spot for them. But according to many odds makers, they would be up to a 95% chance of getting in. The key game is against the Broncos in Week 16. If they win the next two games, their odds would be about 99.7%. So there's teams that can get closer. There's teams jockeying for position. You could have the Steelers clinch a playoff spot. You could have the Texans clinch their division. You can have the Eagles clinch their division. And you can have the Packers clinch a playoff spot. Again, for my Packers, all we need to do is beat Seattle. We need the Falcons to lose or tie to the Raiders. And then the Rams and 49ers need to end in an exact tie. So, we'll see what happens. But those are your playoff scenarios for week number 15. Mikhail's in Knoxville, wants to talk some football. What's up with you tonight, 855-212-4227?
Hey, Bart. I just want to talk about Cowboys, not that most people want to talk about them. But
yeah, I didn't see them anywhere in the playoff clenching scenarios, but feel free.
But now I just thought, trying to think, who would they even get as a coach if they fired McCarthy? I don't see it being Dion or anybody like that. Who would you think might be on that list?
Vrabel's name's popped up today a bunch. For him or the Bear, or for them or the Bears, but I don't think the Bears should be hiring a defensive-minded coach, no matter who the offensive coordinator is. I think Ben Johnson's their white whale at this point. But I still think there's a chance McCarthy's back.
Yeah, I think so too. I don't think there's anybody that stands out really that would make a big difference. I guess I was going to tell you too. I appreciate the way you and Carlos go back and forth. I love y'all's sarcasm and make us laugh quite a bit. But with that said, you were talking about Barbie earlier. I had a joke for you.
Oh, boy.
If you want to hear it.
I'm not sure, but I'll take the risk.
Okay. Well, why do you never see a pregnant Barbie doll?
Why do you never see a pregnant Barbie doll?
Because Ken always comes in another box.
That's your discretion,
guess,
Carlos.
Yeah. I guess I'll leave you with that.
All right.
I don't know if that's good enough for there or not.
Mikhail, thanks for the call. I'm glad all the kids have fallen asleep.
If Harrison was still on the line, we had to dump it.
I mean, it's because, from what I understand with the joke, it's that Ken's in a separate box than Barbie and therefore can't have relations. If there's a double entendre to that, I did not get it. Yeah, I think it was perfectly.
Yeah, I thought it was perfectly fine. I mean, each sold separately is a thing. So He just wanted to reiterate the fact that they are not a package deal.
I've got a bag of Barbies in my basement that were my wife's.
That's a drop.
I don't know what she's going to do with them, though. They're just like, she's not trying to sell them. They're not like put away. Like, they're not like, you know, those precious moments that people have on display. They're just, and most of what she has put away, like any childhood memories or anything like that, they're like put in a box and it's clearly, there's some cleanliness to it, some order to the chaos. But this is just a bag of Barbies, and most of them do not have their clothes. I gotta ask her about that tomorrow. I'm gonna say, honey, what the hell's with these naked Barbies? And then tomorrow I will tell you the thrilling conclusion to that quote-unquote story.
Can't wait.
We're getting a lot of nice things said about us tonight. What's going on here?
Keep it coming, man, because I am cutting these promos at a hyper rate.
I've always said, and I'll continue to say, if you ever want to have your voice live on in radio, compliment the host, because they will cut that. They will put it in promos. They will put it in liners. They will send it to clients. It's an easy way to have your voice live on until the next show comes around, is what basically it is.
I've got a bag of Barbies in my basement.
Did I say bag right? Bag?
I've got a
bag of Barbies in my basement. Was that too Wisconsin-y? Bag? I've got a bag of Barbies in my basement. I feel like that was okay.
That, too, will live in our folder for years to come.
Well, I do. McCarthy, the way he can spin it is, look, I've had four good years in Dallas. We went 12-5 in three of them. This year we had some injuries. Dak got hurt. Put us in a bind. Had Cooper come in, play pretty well. There was a game where the sun got in Dez Bryant, CeeDee Lamb's eyes. We fought hard. Block punt kind of did us in. But the guys have been playing for me. I should be back. I think he might be back. He's certainly got a compelling case, a better case than a lot of these coaches that seem to be on thin ice. I don't know why Doug Peterson hasn't been fired yet. Who does Jacksonville have this week? Somebody bad?
Does it really matter?
I've been
checking with the Jags in for weeks.
Oh, my God. The Jets. What is this game going to look like?
Let's go, Jags. Actually, no, they both have three wins, right? Oh, this game sucks. I hope it's a tie. Because the Jets could threaten me for the number one pick. I don't want anybody near it.
Dude, I was looking at coverage maps last week. The Jacksonville market gets this game, and the New York City market gets this game. And is Albany a separate market? They get it too. But that's it.
You should show a map of the people that actually want it, and it'll just be a blank map.
Yeah, like Buffalo, Syracuse, Boston, Philly, Scranton, anything around this tri-state area, they're going with Dallas at Carolina instead on Fox for the early game. Man, that is pathetic.
Ugh. Imagine getting the Panthers game, and that's the better of the options.
I know.
But they are competitive. They've been doing what I've been clamoring for the Giants, do competitive losses. I actually feel, I don't want to say good, but I feel like the Panthers are trending in the right direction. Who would have thunk that Dave Canales was a good hire?
Yeah, they're doing well. And one of the things that I was so against earlier on the season was Bryce Young sitting down and Anthony Richards sitting down, and both of them after they've come back have played good.
You are just chock full of good takes this week and previous weeks.
Yeah,
and months, basically since I've been here.
But I'll admit when I'm wrong.
Very quickly.
Yeah.
You're like a house of cards, just falls over, a little wind comes in.
It's not like I said anything wrong lately. There is, like, I mean, as certain as I am that I will never walk the surface of Mars in my lifetime, I am that certain that Bill Belichick will not be the coach of the University of North Carolina next or any other year. That was AI. That was AI me. Somebody AI'd me. I'm pretty pissed about it.
AI moves very quickly. In fact, yeah. I feel like that was said just only 2 days ago.
pretty mad I got AI'd. 855-212-4227. This is the Bart Winkler Show.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Fight, Ortiz, fight! Hell yeah!
I'd fight Tom Ricketts right now.
Let's get that on Saturday night's main event. This weekend. I'm Bart Winkler. Carlos Ortiz. Kevin Owens. KO either way. There was a trade that went down in baseball today. Courtesy of the winter meetings. Garrett Crochet, who came on and was pitching very well for the White Sox. And then they soft shut him down. I don't know that he had a start. That he went more than four innings the last month of the season. But ace pitcher. And he is now a member of the Boston Red Sox. The lefty was traded for a handful of prospects. So the Red Sox gave up catcher Kyle Teal, who is 25 on MLB Pipeline's top 100. and number four in Boston system on their latest rankings. They also gave up the number 54 overall prospect, an outfielder. They gave up their 11 and their 14. So they gave up four of the guys in their top 15, according to MLB Pipeline, for Garrett Crochet. So the Red Sox making moves, all these other teams making moves that missed out on Juan Soto. Some NBA action tonight, and when I say some, I mean some. The schedule's very weird. They're highlighting the NBA Cup games. So they don't want any other games on. If you're watching the NBA, they want you to pay attention to these, and it helps it make a bigger deal of it. And I think it has been. The players, certainly. If you're a fan and you're not into it, that's one thing. But the players are certainly into it. You saw that when the Rockets beat Golden State tonight, 91-90. You saw that when the Hawks went to New York and won at MSG, 108-100. So the next games of this will be the semifinals. They will also count in the regular season standings, and they will be played on Saturday. Atlanta will play Milwaukee, and Houston will play Oklahoma City. Now, the teams that lost are also going to play each other, but those are going to be normal regular season games on Sunday. So New York has been scheduled at Orlando on Sunday, and Dallas has been scheduled at Golden State. These were not games that were on the schedule at any time up until tonight. And then on Tuesday, going to be one game, and that will be the NBA Cup championship game. Brandon is in Chicago. What's up, Brandon?
Hi. Would you consider it a success then, the Cup, as far as getting the players engaged? I know it's kind of absurd that you need a special event to get the players engaged in basketball, but would you consider it so far a success? And also, would you consider a Shaft a superhero? I mean, he's regarded as such in the adult universe, and
Shaft,
I believe, yeah, and sure. Hancock as well.
Yeah, Hancock we mentioned. I think Shaft's fine. I think Brandon. I think last year I said the Cup was a success because people were talking about it and wondering if it was a success. So I think that cleared the benchmark for last year. Is it something people are paying attention to? This year, I think that people, and I don't know like the fan enthusiasm for it, but the players are into it. The players are into it. So it's a success from that level. So now next year, I think what the NBA would want is for fans to really start buying into it and treating. Because I still like, my team's the Bucks. They're in it. I want them to win. I want them to win because it's a tournament that they're involved in. But if they don't win, I'm not going to be like, oh God, add this to the list of heartbreaks. The Bucks lost the NBA Cup semis. So it's not that yet, but I do want them to win because it's a thing they could maybe win.
Yeah, it's kind of like a preseason for extra hard play in of the finals, but yeah, I like it as well.
All right, Brandon.
Thank you.
A little Shaft for you. Brandon called in and got Shaft tonight. The theme song. God. Barry's in Boston. Barry.
Hey, bro.
Hey, buddy. Are you talking, or are we just going to stare at each other?
No.
What did you say?
I need to take you off speakerphone. I'm sorry.
Yeah, maybe do that.
So I finally know what you look before. Like, because I went on your Facebook page, because your producer said, hey, it's Facebook, the Bart Winkler Show. I'm like, now I can start sending you some stuff. So I sent you a picture, and I was sending it more pictures, so.
You sent me a picture?
Hmm.
Let me look here.
Check it out.
Yeah, all right. Is it in Brazil?
No, Bruins. Forget about Brazil. You love Brazil.
Which one are you here? Are you on the left?
I'm the good-looking guy in the middle.
That's a woman.
Yeah, that's El Sandra.
Why is this so hard for you?
Why what?
Okay, there's three people in this picture that you sent me. Are you on the left?
Sir. I'm the guy that's 48 years old in the middle.
The person in the middle is a woman.
Sorry.
Are you on the left?
Yes, I'm on the left.
What? Bro, what are you talking about, man?
And so you saw...
Oh, my God. All right. So I'm going to send you more pictures. Now that I have your Facebook thing, I'm all set.
So did you... You saw... You know what I look like? Do you have any opinion on what I look like?
You are semi-good-looking.
Wow.
What do you mean?
That's a win for me.
Oh, my God. You're crazy. So... Your wife might have married you for money. I'm sure she's much better looking than you. But that's okay. That's why my wife married me. So that's wonderful. There's nothing wrong with that. It's good.
My wife married me when I was a breakfast waiter making $5. No, I would have made $2.80 an hour plus tips.
Well, that's good. I would give you, maybe $5, $10 if you were nice to me.
And in a few more years of this job, I might get up to double that.
All right, so she didn't marry... you're semi-good-looking, I said. That's
all right,
okay,
everybody
right?
Go Google me and look at my picture and knock yourself out, whatever. It's very hard.
I didn't realize... I thought you were facial free. But anyway, now I know what you look like. So now I can talk to you.
Give me at least 30 seconds of sports to justify this call on my show.
Okay. I can't talk about the Cowboys because you will kick me off.
All right, Barry, I'm kicking you off.
No, that's done.
I got
that's
you. Can't done. You can't say that. I'm kicking you off.
I'm sorry.
Message me later, sorry, but I'm kicking you off. We got to train you. I'm trying. This is like potty training with you. Don't mention the Cowboys. And don't say I can't mention the Cowboys. Just get into it. So, Barry, I got to let you go because I'm training you.
I love you, brother.
All right. Next time you have that funny feeling, let me know, and we'll figure it out. The greatest weekend of my life is when it was a Friday, and I left to go cover the Hall of Fame induction of Leroy Butler. And my mother-in-law came to stay with my wife and son for the weekend. And the goal was they were going to start potty training, my kid. So I go have a grand old time, ripping it up in Canton, Ohio. I come back on Sunday. He's potty trained. Oh, my God. I got out of it. I never had to do a single potty training thing. Tell Carlos your nutsack story. Huh? Uh, 855-212-4227. Let's get to an update with, I'm sure, an astonished, once again, Dexter Henry. Bart Winkler Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Amy Lawrence up next. Two NBA Cup games tonight. We've got our semifinals set. The Warriors and Rockets game. Rockets beating the Warriors for the first time in 4 years, since February of 2020. The Rockets had a bit of a run there at the end, and the Warriors kind of let this game slip away from them. Then there was a loose ball foul called on one end of the floor, which the Rockets got to shoot a couple of free throws on the other end of the floor. Warriors coach Steve Kerr not happy with the call. And then the inside, the NBA crew, I wouldn't say not happy with, but giving him a reality check, maybe. Here's Steve Kerr after the game, and then Charles Barkley chiming in.
So I wanted to go to Las Vegas. We wanted to win this cup. And, We aren't going because of a loose ball foul 80 feet from the basket with the game on the line. I've never seen anything like it in my life, and that was ridiculous. Thank you.
Mm. So just to put the exclamation point
he's
on.
He's right.
On
well, in fairness, he wasn't going to win the cup anyway. Oklahoma City's waiting on his ass. And Shea Gildas-Allen said, you ain't got to worry about Shea and all them boys. They coming. They ain't already in Oklahoma. They already in Vegas.
So the matchups will be Houston versus Oklahoma City and Atlanta versus Milwaukee. These games will be on Saturday. Make fun of these small markets if you must. But I'm ready for some good old-fashioned playoff basketball in December. And that'll be coming up on Saturday. Last Saturday was the MLS Cup. All right? Major League Soccer is the league that was founded in 1996 is when they started play. It was on the heels of the World Cup being in America in 1994. And part of the whole agreement was we're going to get you a top flight league in this country and you are going to have promotion relegation and you are going to play a schedule just like everybody else. You're going to be welcomed into the FIFA society and you're going to do the things that FIFA does. MLS says okay, and then they don't do any of it. They don't have promotion relegation, which is if you are in the bottom of your league, you go down to a lower league. That's what you see in England all the time. England's a good example. I think it's the one that most people are familiar with. You got your Manchester United, your Manchester Cities, your Liverpools, your Arsenals, all these teams. And then there's lower divisions, which we've learned of too, because if there's one team we know, it's Wrexham. This is the team that Ryan Reynolds has bought into and Rob McElhenney. So these guys have that team. They're trying to go up divisions. We understand the concept of promotion relegation. It would be like if in baseball, there's the major leagues, AAA, AA, single A, but they weren't all owned by like the same 30 teams. And if you win AAA, you go up to the majors. If you're at the bottom three in the majors, you go on AAA. That's what it'd be like. And for soccer, it seems to work because you can field more teams. You can get small communities to go crazy for their teams. I'm 60 miles away from a team that I've done some stuff with in Forward Madison. They draw 5,000-6,000 people to games. It's an intimate atmosphere. It's very good and very fun. But that's not Major League Soccer. It's not even the next level. It's the level after that. So there's Major League Soccer at the top. There's the USL Championship League. And then there's the USL League One. So the USL Championship League and the USL League One are run by the USL. This is like a competing thing with Major League Soccer. Major League Soccer is on another, it's a higher level on the old pyramid than USL, but they're not connected in any way. They may play each other in some US Open Cup tournaments, the closest thing we have to any other thing that any other country has, but MLS is even spotty about what they want to do with that. So here's why I bring this all up. Because Major League Soccer had their Super Bowl, shall I say, their MLS Cup, between the LA Galaxy and the New York Red Bulls. We're talking Los Angeles and New York. So we may be looking at the NBA Cup and thinking, well, these aren't the biggest markets here. Adam Silver's got to be upset. But we're looking at the MLS saying, these are the biggest markets. They've got to be happy. Well, one of the things that Major League Soccer is doing is they've got all their games pretty much on Apple TV. So if you have Apple TV, you can then buy MLS League Pass and then get every game all season. But you do have to pay for it. So if you're a fan of like a local team, you can't just turn on your regional networks. You can't get cable, get marquee, watch the Cubs. You'd have to get MLS League Pass on Apple TV Plus to then watch the Chicago Fire. And they say that their numbers are good, but we've never seen the numbers, which I think is a telltale sign. So there are still some games that are then on either Fox or FS1, but they're not that committed to the product. They don't put a lot in the broadcast. They don't really care because it's basically an Apple TV operation. So Major League Soccer had their MLS Cup, and it drew 406,000 viewers. A lot of times when we talk about ratings and numbers, we're not really discussing them until they're in the millions. I'll give you an example. The UFL championship game, the Spring League, I think that had 1.5 million people watch it. The women's basketball tournament with Iowa, they started their first game, I think, at 7 million people. World Series was getting 15 to 20 million. This is 500,000 people. And why this is so bad is because the MLS, the top soccer league in our country, America, drew less viewers than the USL Championship Final, which was aired on CBS a while back. So the league that it's supposed to be ahead of, it can't even get the same number. Now, it was a close gap, but it still lost, which is not good. The NWSL, the National Women's Soccer League, between Orlando and Washington, that was aired on a Saturday night on CBS. That drew double either game. It drew 1 million. So the MLS is getting half of the Women's League final, and it's getting less than the lower league. So imagine if the NBA Finals got half the number of the WNBA Finals, and then the NBA Final was still outdrawn by the G League Final. That's what's happening in American soccer, and everybody in the MLS just doesn't think it's a problem. Me, in my eventual quest to become the MLS commissioner, that's my ultimate dream job. And I can do this on the side. I'll pull a Gottlieb and phone both jobs in instead of just one. But that is the dream. And the campaign starts today. I'm Bart Winkler. Thanks to Carlos Ortiz. Thanks to Sam Bruckhaus for joining us from Sumer Sports. Thanks to Dexter Henry on the updates. Amy Lawrence next on the Infinity Sports Network.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.